It's in Daniel. Let's go to Daniel 8 and start at verse 9. Out of one of them came forth a rather small horn, which grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the beautiful land. It grew up to the host of heaven and caused some of the host and some of the stars to fall to the earth, and it trampled them down. It even magnified itself to be equal with the commander of the host, and it removed the regular sacrifice from him, and the place of his sanctuary was thrown down. And on account of transgression, the host will be given over to the horn along with the regular sacrifice. And it will fling truth to the ground and perform its will and prosper. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to that particular one who was speaking, "How long will the vision about the regular sacrifice apply? While the transgression causes horror, so as to allow both the holy place and the host to be trampled." He said to me, "For 2,300 evenings and mornings, then the holy place will be properly restored." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the prophets of old and for the truth that you reveal to them. We thank you for these words that we can read about the past, about the present, about the future. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you will help us to understand it as you would have. And we ask you to let it lead and guide us into the truth that you would have us to receive. Heavenly Father, bless the words that we speak and the thoughts that we express, and help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask all these things, and amen. And my text is the verse 5 of the chapter 8. And this reads, "While I was observing, behold, a male goat was coming from the west over the surface of the whole earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a conspicuous horn between its eyes." As you all know, the book of Daniel is a prophetic verse. And Daniel experienced these things that we're speaking of and that the book of Daniel is written about. He's experiencing these things while he is in captivity in what we now know as Iraq. It's amazing how, as time goes by, the focus of the whole world at this particular point in time seems to be on that area of the world, one little area of the world, so to speak, concentrated area. The whole world is focused on that area that your Bible is written about. And the focus has been tremendously upon Iraq. And Iraq is the area in which Daniel was living at the time of these words. He had been taken captive along with a lot of other people in Israel. About 600, 700 years or so before Christ, the captivity was the Babylonian captivity. And Daniel was one of the ones that was one of the captives. And he was in what we now know as Iraq. And so Daniel had visions. If you read the book of Daniel, you're bound to be intrigued of the visions that are recorded in the book of Daniel. The kings, the very highest person in those areas, and specifically right there around Daniel, the kings of that land somehow had visions and prophetic visions. And they were very much perplexed by the visions that they had. They were not only perplexed, they were very stirred up, very worried, very nervous about these visions. They were some very weird things, strange things. It would be strange to you, strange to me, anyone, what these visions meant. Why certain people had the visions. Why it was the ruler of the land that had these unusual visions. But it's something that God moved upon these people that was not Christian people. They were not of the Jewish faith, or wasn't of the descendants of Abraham, of Judah. They were rulers of a foreign land, have taken the people of Israel, the Jews and everyone else, almost everyone, captive, took them out of their land into their land, several hundred miles away. And the rulers of the land had these strange visions, and they were obviously visions from God. Because the interpretation of these visions had prophetic implications. They revealed the future, what was going to happen. The different kingdoms that was going to dominate the world through a period of several hundred years. And really, right on up to today, these prophecies, some of them led right up to our point in time and beyond. Some of them have not even been totally and completely fulfilled even today. Isn't that amazing? But yet some of them have been fulfilled. And the ones that have already been fulfilled is some of the kingdoms that were to come. And part of this particular interpretation and part of these dreams let the kings know ultimately through the interpretation by Daniel, which God inspired him to reveal the visions. Otherwise, they wouldn't have known what these visions meant. Because the kings were so stirred within their own hearts and mind and so troubled by what these visions meant that they call the very wisest men of the whole land to interpret the dreams. Astrologers and just men that were deemed to be wise. And they ask them, you know, interpret the dream. Tell me, in fact, one king wanted them to tell him what he dreamed. Can you imagine that? He didn't tell him what he did dream, because I guess he figured, well, I'm just going to see if they really know their stuff. If their gods really will reveal to them what I've just dreamed. So I'm not going to tell them to dream. I'm going to make them tell me what I dream. Isn't that something? The king, you tell me what I dream. And then tell me what it meant. That'll separate the sheep from the goats. Won't it? They were shaking in their boots. They literally told him, no one can do this. But that let the king know a little something about them. If they were who they said they were and were capable of what they were supposed to be capable of, then their gods would have let them know anything and everything. But it didn't work out that way, just as you would expect. Because their gods were pagan gods. Their gods was not the one true living God that is a revealer of all mysteries and able to answer anything that you ask him or deal with any problem that you have in your heart and your life. That's the God you serve. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The one who is all-powerful and all-knowing and is capable of delivering, capable of revealing the truth, all truth. And so the king was going to kill, issued a decree, gave the orders and the commands to kill every wise man and astrologer and similar people with similar spirits, you know, all the different names that you use, witches, witchcraft, you know, anything and everything that had to do with supernatural spirits or revealing what a natural man could not know. He issued the command to kill all these people that could not do what he asked them to do. Tell me what my dream was. And then tell me what it means. They could not do it. And they told him that. He was very angry. Angry enough to command that they be killed by the sword, their lives taken, including Daniel, because he was considered to be one of the wisest men in the land. He already was established that by the king. Daniel and the Hebrew children were deemed to be very smart people and separated out as that and known as that. And so they were included in the ones that was to have their lives taken if they could not interpret, make known the dream, and interpret the dream. And so when it came down to the very end of things, and heads were to start rolling, so to speak, then Daniel, naturally concerned for his own life, his friends, the three Hebrew boys, and the other wise men of the land. He became concerned and then spoke to the person that was supposed to carry out this order of the king. He first went to God and talked to the three Hebrew boys and asked that they pray together and ask God to reveal this dream to them so that lives would be spared. And of course, God did reveal the dream. Supernaturally, you'd have to say. He made known a dream from nowhere, except it was from God, and God made known the dream to Daniel, the only person in the land that God revealed this to. No doubt, Daniel was a man in special standing with God. Daniel stood head and shoulders above everyone else in the land with God. A man of high esteem in heavenly places. Isn't that something that you and I would love to be known as? And be loved to be that precious to God? That He would use us in that miraculous of a way? To reveal to us dreams of different people? And the interpretation? Sometimes futuristic events that were not to happen until hundreds of years later, maybe even certain ones, thousands years into the future, until some of these things were to happen or to be complete. The interpretation, the dream and the interpretation was given to Daniel. And Daniel made this known to the king. What do you think would happen then? Well, for sure the lives were spared. But what do you think the king's reaction would have been to Daniel doing this? Probably just like yours or mine. You would hold that person in high regard that did that. You would place them in a position of high responsibility because they obviously was a very special person. Special with God, and had already been determined very wise. So the king did, just like you would do, he placed Daniel in a very high position in the land, even though Daniel was a foreign person. He was not a person that had been born in the land. He was a foreigner, but yet a special foreigner. And so a position of high esteem was given to Daniel. My text in that verse 5 of chapter 8, I want to go over some things of that particular verse, starting in verse 5 of chapter 8, and going well on down. And I want you to consider it, because my message to you is future events to consider. Future events to consider. And of course, naturally, some of these has not happened. They're prophesied to happen. They could be relative to us today. It could be part of what is going on in the Middle East today. Particularly this last week. These events I'm speaking of could be part of what these prophecies and these visions are. Part of these that I want you to consider is that it says that a male goat comes from the west. The west of where? The west of where Daniel was. Daniel is in Iraq. So where is west? From Iraq. Well, it could be several places, but one place that it could be is back toward Libya, on out going toward the United States. I just want you to consider some things that we're going to read about this morning in the book of Daniel, and considering that this is and was a vision of prophetic events. Some could have already took place, some may not have. But these particular verses speak of a male goat comes from the west. When he comes, it's as if he spreads out over the whole earth without touching the ground. Anyone that has to do with this particular place, if they were to become involved, there would be none to rescue from this male goat to the west. The male goat representing, that's what I want you to consider. What does? Reckon what it does represent. Comes from the west, spreads over the whole earth. As it comes, does not touch the ground. None can rescue, none is powerful enough to rescue from this force. This force magnifies, exalts, magnifies itself exceedingly, flinging truth to the ground. In other words, whatever this is that this is speaking of exalts and magnifies itself, being, you know, mighty, wise, powerful, has no real seemingly good regard, honest regard for truth, flinging truth to the ground, performing its will and prospering. That's all speaking of this force from the west, represented by this male goat. Let's go to Daniel 8 and start at verse 15. My message to you today is future events to consider. And we're reading about them now. And I would like for this to hopefully spur up within you an interest of visions of God being powerful enough to reveal to you truth that He has for you and futuristic events that has not happened. He could do this for you just like He did it for Daniel. He could reveal to you things to come. He could reveal to you what work He has for you to do, where He has for you to go. Just like He revealed to Daniel the truth that He did to him. God is no respecter of persons. He cares for each one of His children, who you are, tremendously. If you called on Him with sincerity in your heart, meaning what you say and saying what you mean to God, don't ever think that He won't listen and that He doesn't have something special for you, because you are special to Him. That's why you're here. If you wasn't special, you wouldn't be here. You are special to God. Daniel 8, verse 15. When I, Daniel, had seen the vision, I sought to understand it, and behold, standing before me was one who looked like a man. And I heard the voice of a man between the banks of Ulai, and he called out, and And he called out and said, Gabriel, give this man an understanding of the vision. So he came near to where I was standing. And when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. But he said to me, Son of man, understand that the vision pertains to the time of the end. Are we at the end yet? Is this the end? We don't know. It may be close. Has the end happened already? No, we wouldn't be here if it did. So the end, obviously, we're close at it, or we haven't got to it yet. It's still out in the future. Son of man, understand that the vision pertains to the time of the end. Now, while he was talking with me, I sank into a deep sleep with my face to the ground. But he touched me and made me stand upright. He said, Behold, I am going to let you know what will occur at the final period of the indignation. For it pertains to the appointed time of the end. We've been reading about appointed times lately, haven't we? And the appointed times that I'm speaking of is the appointed times that God said was His appointed times for us to assemble together. Appointed times of the Lord. And that's what I gave you the sheet that I gave you the other day about. Special assembly times, high Sabbath days that we are to assemble together, holy convocations, Passover, days of unleavened bread, Pentecost, trumpets. And the other fall festivals. Those are times where He wants us to assemble ourselves together. Some of them are holy days, sanctified and set apart as holy, appointed that way as Sabbath days in which we are to take just like we do a weekly Sabbath. A weekly Sabbath, we heard this morning, has certain rules about a holy day. We're not to treat it as a regular day of the week. We're to assemble ourselves and to worship. God set the day apart as holy and sanctified, set apart the day for worship, for remembering His creative works. That's the purpose of a holy day. Thinking about God, turning our attention, our focus, our time is to be on God on that special day. Not to go out and treat that day just like you would any other day. It's not a Sabbath if you do that. It's not set apart if you treat it just like any other day. Some of these appointed days are just as holy as the weekly Sabbath day. They're Sabbath days also. And the Bible refers to them as high Sabbaths. And I know some of y'all are not real familiar with that. But if you're not familiar with it, you need to get familiar with it. If it's holy and if it's a Sabbath, and if it's sanctified and set apart and commanded by God, then you better take it serious. And hopefully you already take the weekly Sabbath serious. But you certainly need to take the appointed days of God that way, because they're just as holy. If one is holy, the other is holy. And it's that way because God spoke it. God made it that way. God is going to let the king know through Daniel things of the future. What will occur at the final period of the indignation, for it pertains to the appointed time of the end. The ram which you saw with the two horns represent the kings of Media and Persia. And so it goes on to explain the kingdoms that were going to be worldwide and was going to come about. And those two were two of them. And one of them before that was the Babylonian kingdom was to be the first. You read that in Daniel 2 and verse 36. Talks about the Babylonian kingdom, of which this particular king was the king of. In other words, it was talking about his period of time. The first. Everything else then was futuristic. After the Babylonian kingdom came this one that we're speaking of there, the Medo-Persia and Greece. And then after that then was the Roman era. And then you know the Roman era continues up to this day. We're still in part of that. And it will go right on up. It will technically be considered as being still within that era all the way up to the point that Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, which we will call the divine kingdom, the kingdom of God. So God revealed through Daniel to the king the first kingdom, which was the Babylonian kingdom, which was that king's kingdom, the period of time he was in right then, the Babylonian kingdom. Then was to come the Medo-Persia and Greece, two separate ones. That would be the second and the third kingdom. And then, of course, the fourth kingdom then was the Rome, the Roman period of time. And so we know that that went all the way back to Jesus' time. Started, you know, then. And, of course, continues until right now. So we're talking about at least 2,000 years here that has been going on. So the visions continue. I would like to hopefully spur your imagination to want to go home and get out your Bibles and read some yourself in the book of Daniel. That's just one of the prophetic books, but it's really intriguing. It's really interesting when you read about these dreams and how God interprets the dreams and gives the interpretation, makes known what these things, some of these things really are when it speaks of like a ram or a ram's horn or having four horns, what each one of these horns would represent on the ram. I want you to consider the visions. Consider the interpretation, because they're miraculous. They're from God. They was revealed to a human being. They were supernaturally revealed to one of God's children to be then made known to the king and anyone else at that time. Now, partially to us. It's wonderful reading. Let's go to Daniel 9 and verse 1. Daniel 9 and 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, the prophet, for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. That's part of prophecy. It's important why God had a period of 70 years. Why he mentioned that, what it means. It would fascinate you to study and try to come to some sort of understanding on it. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, "Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments." Daniel is petitioning the Lord. He's going to the Lord and letting him know the events that have happened, that has transpired perhaps within Daniel's lifetime. And in essence, these verses by Daniel is calling on God to forgive. God allowed his people, his nation, his city, holy city Jerusalem, nation of Israel, the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God allowed them to be forcibly conquered, took out of their country as slaves, took to a foreign country hundreds of miles away, and be in captivity. God allowed this. That's pretty bad, isn't it? God to allow his own people to go through that. But you know, that's only one side of the story. The other side of the story is, why did God allow it? He allowed it because his children became disobedient. They did not keep his commandments. They did not abide in his laws. They did not consult him with their prayers. They did not do his will and maintain their faith in him. They allowed foreign gods, pagan gods, And of course, you know, as I know, there's only one true God. All others are false. There's only one God. So in essence, there is no other God. They're all made up. They're all imaginary. They're all figments of human beings' imaginations and thoughts and works of their hand to make the gods out of iron or silver or gold or wood, whatever. There's only one true God, and that's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's only one God that can answer your prayers. All other prayers are just going up in the air to nothing. We need to realize God wants and expects obedience. He wants and expects you to be sincere in your walk with Him. He wants conversation with you. He wants personal contact. He wants you to get real about your service to Him. It's all just in vain if you're not worshiping the one true living God. It's like Solomon said, King Solomon, in all his splendor and glory, in all his wealth and wisdom, King Solomon, with all his wives, I don't know exactly how many wives he had, but they were way up in number. This was King Solomon. With all his experiences, all that he had, there wasn't anything that anyone could possibly want that he didn't have. And all he had to say is the word, and it would be done. All powerful as a human being on this earth, had all the money, all the fame, all the everything. But you know, after experiencing everything that there was to experience and having everything that there was to have, what did King Solomon conclude? All is vanity. All is vain. Meaning, it wasn't worth anything. It wasn't important to him. It wasn't something that gave him satisfaction. None of it. None of the wealth, none of the material things, none of it was worth having. That's what King Solomon, the wisest man that has ever lived, that's what he concluded after having everything, including many, many, many of everything that there was to have, including wives, he still concluded nothing is worthwhile. But you know, I had a message on that, and my message was that all is not vain. Because when you really studied it, even though King Solomon said, all is vanity, all is vain. All really is not vain. Because what is not vain is your walk with God. What is not vain is the importance of being a child of God and doing what He has for you to do, and serving Him the way He wants you to serve Him, and helping to let others know about the one and only true God, and that there is a way that is worthwhile. There is something to do that will give you that fulfilling feeling of self-worth. That's what Solomon was saying. None of this is fulfilling. None of this is satisfying. That's what Solomon was really saying. But what I'm saying to you, all is not vanity. Because there's a God that wants you to love Him and respect Him, wants you to honor Him, wants you to serve Him and bring other people to the knowledge of Him and His ways. And by doing that, they have the ability and are given the ability to make a decision. Do I want to be a child of God? Do I want to have all that any heir would have of the one true living God? Do I want to be blessed like the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, heirs of all that there is as a child of God? Do I want that? That's ultimately the bottom line decision. And we need to let others know that there's a better way to live your life, that there is something that really is answers the question, all is not vanity. Because there is a world out there to come. This body may perish, may turn to dust, but yet that don't mean that the true you does not continue. It does continue with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and as a child of God, you will continue on forever and ever and ever. Never to end. But if you are not a child of God, there will be an end for you. You don't want that to be part of your life. As a child of God, the kingdom of God awaits you, and service to Him and with Him is part of your future. Eternity is at stake. And your life will never end, even with death. Your life never ends if you are a child of God. Jesus said that Himself. If you believe on Me, you shall never die. Do you believe it? That's what Jesus said. And I believe it. And I want to be one of those that is in the kingdom of God and goes on for all eternity. Read the book of Daniel. Read about these visions. It'll bless you more than I could ever say to you. Let's all stand. And I want us to close by reading the blessing of God, the blessing of God to us, and our blessing to each other. Let's all read together.